Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman alongside David Reske, and we're at the offices of NowSpeed. David, it's good to be here.
Thanks for coming. It's great to talk to entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. And our next guest up on Radio Entrepreneurs is Juliette Gill. Juliette's with Nonverbally Speaking. Welcome, Juliette.
Oh, thank you so much.
Welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your company and what you guys do?
Well, thank you for having me here. So I'm the owner of Nonverbally Speaking. I do body language training, so it's all about nonverbal communication. I'll tell you a little bit about how I got into body language. When I in 2011, I was straight out of college. I had an internship at a construction company, which is a world that's dominated by men. I was struggling to be taken seriously. And but I still did a pretty good job. I got promoted to marketing representative 6 months after, then marketing director. I ended up representing 5 construction companies, and I was having lots of construction companies that wanted me to represent them. Now, in this,
we know what the nonverbal cues are in the construction industry. You only need a couple of fingers on your hand, probably. No. In any industry, probably.
Yeah, but mostly on construction, though. So what happened is I started learning about body language. So I found this statistic that was so interesting. And 60 to 93% of communication is nonverbal. So I wasn't getting the results I wanted. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm focusing too much on my verbal and my technical knowledge. I was so desperate, I started learning engineering, which is not my field. I am an international business manager from Colombia, South America. So I was like, well, maybe there's no need for engineering and, you know, technical construction terms. And I was doing business with the federal government. So all throughout the East Coast, very different cultures in DC, in Boston, in New York, then Florida or Maine. So I was like, maybe I'm going to be more thoughtful about it. And I started doing my own research, reading all the body language books. And one fun statistic is in 30 minutes, how many nonverbal signals do you think people send to one another?
Oh, hundreds, maybe thousands?
So it's 800.
Wow.
That's an average. So if you don't know a lot about body language, it's like you're ignoring an entire different channel of communication.
The whole language in and of itself. That's amazing.
Yeah, as you think about it, what's the biggest aha that you find that people don't understand about body language? What's the biggest nonverbal cue that people miss?
Well, if you start just by the way you stand or where you have your hands. So when you first approach a room or somebody's approaching you, the first thing that you notice is somebody's hands, not their face, which is opposite to what most people think. So having your hands in your pocket or behind you, it's already going to make a difference. So it comes back to our caveman days. So when a caveman was approaching us, the first thing we looked at him was his hands. Does he have a weapon? So congenitally blind people also display the same body language that a seeing person. So, for example, if we watch the Paralympics, if there's a winner, he's going to celebrate by spreading his hands out or up high, and he's going to turn his head up towards the sky. Now, nobody told him, hey, if you win, do this, right?
So it's instinct. It's really from evolution.
Even your facial expressions, they're universal. There are 7 universal micro expressions. So if you want to detect hidden emotions in negotiations or in preference-based scenarios like sales, you know, are they liking this? Are they concerned about something? Do they not like the price? And when I say body language, I mean facial expressions, the gestures you do with your body, and also the ornaments, the colors you wear, the way you dress. So it's all of this. There's body language for your voice, too.
So really a fascinating field. But so how do you translate this into a business? How does this turn into a business for you?
So I've done all my independent research, right? So that alone gives you a lot of knowledge and, you know, ground to guide somebody or train somebody. And I also have a body language certification from Science of People. So they have a database of over 2,500 scientific-based research. So What we do is we take a very complex, boring scientific study and we translate it into actionable and tactable strategies that you can use right away. So, for example, there's a really amazing TED Talk by Amy Cuddy on power posing. So there's a very simple way of teaching power posing and what it does to your body. So you explain, for example, the scientific part in a very simple way. For example, if you power pose, which is like a Superman stance, right? Or a Wonder Woman stance. So it's very broad. If you do that for 5 minutes, your testosterone levels will go up and your cortisol levels will go down. And Amy Cuddy's from Harvard University. We have so many from Massachusetts, I'm so proud. MIT also does a lot of body language research, and this is all available and ready for us to do something about it and work on it. Hmm. So, you know, when I go to a networking event, everyone always wants to do better than they're already doing. And if you tell them that they're leaving out the majority of their abilities, then they're like, huh, okay, I can do better, and this makes sense. You know, as you have a conversation and explain things, they're like, oh, wow, that's amazing.
Mm. No, it's very powerful. I'm wondering how much of our body language is driven by things that are going on in our daily lives or how we feel in a given setting. You know, if we're feeling under the weather in some capacity, mm-hmm. does that impact it?
So yesterday I was thinking about that because somebody at a networking event in Burlington asked me, do you ever see yourself, find yourself going against what you teach in body language? So I'm like, well, actually, maybe I do when I'm feeling down, tired, or sad. So when we were talking previously about power posing, and there's also low power. So we do this when we're on our phone. So I'm going to pretend this business card is my phone, right? So we hunch it over towards our body. So our hands are just clenched in and we bow our head down. Our shoulders also roll down instead of like good posture back. This is low power. So our body automatically is going to start producing cortisol. And if we stay in that position a lot, or if we're sad and we're just naturally in that position, when we jump out of it, when we have to get up, we're feeling tired, we're feeling low energy. So I've felt like that. I've been like that. And I now I understand it. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to power pose for a little bit and, you know, get testosterone pumping. And it's just a nice way to make a difference in your own body.